Chapter 2, What is Filthy Riches? Filthy riches is a concept of buying and selling distressed, low-end, and cheap properties that virtually no one else wants, which can be done in any state, and then selling them with a low down payment and carrying the financing for the buyer. Filthy riches is the name I have created for the concept I've known about for a long time. It is something I've researched, studied, and started doing a lot more of myself, especially in the market the way it is right now. The problem with the concept was that the way everyone else I knew that was doing this, they were spending way too much time and losing way too much money. I've now come up with a specific system on my own that I have put together through trial and error over the years on how to maximize profits and totally eliminate risk. The best part is that anyone, no matter what their personal financial situation is, can get started in just a few days without any cash, credit, or experience. It is also a system that is not intimidating at all, as you will see. The neatest thing about this system, as you will see, is that you are going to find a lot of these properties through realtors, and most will be bank-owned properties. With the bank-owned properties, they all negotiate the same way. There's no emotions involved. You don't have to worry about someone backing out of a deal. It's a small deal and easy to do. That doesn't mean that you will not be buying some from for sale by owners or other sellers that have their properties listed with realtors. The potential profit on this is huge. First of all, it's a very easy program to work. There are thousands of properties out there, especially in today's market, that are cheap, been on the market for long periods of time type of properties. Most buyers aren't buying them. The sellers and or realtors are not getting many offers on them. Just by the fact they are cheap little houses, there is not as big of a market for them as a median priced home or higher. Why these properties are available? As you know, especially in today's market, there are many properties on the market. There are a lot of properties that realtors can't sell, many of them because they don't want to sell them because of the condition that they are in and or because of the low price. These properties are the cheap properties that realtors can't get a whole lot of commission on, and there really aren't a lot of buyers out there that want these properties, other than a few local handyman investors or landlords. Most investors want the better properties, the higher end properties, at least median priced properties or better, that are easier to sell because they can be repaired to look nice and they are in nicer neighborhoods. The other reason that they don't sell very well is that they all need at least some work to move into or rent out, and the reason that they don't sell is that it is typically difficult to get financing on these low-priced fixer-uppers. That is, of course, unless you use hard money or private money. There again, this would only apply to investors looking to rehab a property to flip or rent out, as most hard money lenders do not lend to people who will be moving into the property. This system allows you to buy and then sell these kinds of properties very quickly by selling them with a low down payment and carrying the mortgage or selling on a land contract, sometimes called contract for deed. Let's get specific. So what I am talking about here is looking for properties that are listed for $50,000 or less. It doesn't matter what state they are in, although you do want to stay out of the depressed areas. I used to tell people to stay out of Detroit, Cleveland, Youngstown, and Gary, Indiana. However, the markets have changed in those areas, and there are good investments there as well, as long as you do your due diligence. Also, at this price, you aren't going to be buying in the Bay Area of California either, where the prices still look like phone numbers. I do want to say here that although you can do this in any state, I want you to start in your own state and even your own city if you can. If you do not live in the area that you can do this in, as mentioned above, then you can start in another area. The only reason I mention starting in your own area is it increases the chances that you will actually take action if you can go see the property. If not, it is still okay. You will just have to start in an area outside of where you live. Once you have decided on an area and you've found your properties, all listed under $50,000 for the area you want to search in, then you'll use the analyzer to determine what your offer should be. Now, your offer will usually be somewhere between 20 to 50% of asking price. Now, every offer will not be within that range every time, but this is a good rule of thumb and a place to start. I know what you're thinking. How can I make an offer of approximately 20 to 50% of asking price? Will they hang up on me? Will they laugh at me? You have to remember, sometimes it is just as important for the seller to get needed cash or for a bank to get the property off their books and close the file as it is to get the highest amount of money for the property. As you will see from listening to the live calls I have recorded for you while making these kinds of offers, no, they will not hang up on you or laugh at you. Will you get some realtors that just do not want to work with you or say your offer is ridiculous? Yes, you will. However, the better you get at negotiating, the more realtors you will find that will be willing to work with you and submit your offers. It is all about how you present your offers. Now, I have stated that you will offer between 20 to 50% of the asking price. However, there will be exceptions to this, as you will learn. That will just come with experience after buying a few of these types of properties. The main thing is that you do not want to pay more than around $5,000 total for a Filthy Riches property. However, if the property is already listed at $6,000, it doesn't mean that you will offer $5,000 and get it. That is probably not a good property to buy anyway. There is a reason they are only asking $6,000 for it, so I would pass on this one. Now, you aren't going to pay exactly $5,000 for every property. Some you will pay less and some you will pay more. However, I want to use the $5,000 example throughout this course as a guide, as that should be a good average of what you could pay. You may even pay a little more for most properties depending on where you live, and that's okay. Double wide mobile homes. You can even pay a lot more and still make money, but when you do, they need to be nicer houses in nicer areas, in much better shape than a $5,000 house would be. In addition to the low-priced cheap houses, I also do a lot of deals where I am buying houses for $20,000 to $45,000, and I am still making good money on them. But I wouldn't necessarily consider them Filthy Riches type houses. In fact, they are usually double-wide mobile homes on their own lot. So I am buying the home and land. A typical deal would be where I pick it up for $30,000 and sell it for $69,900 and get around $5,000 down payment. We then finance the balance for 10 to 20 years and can either sell the note or keep the note. In fact, it is very easy to buy them in small towns and rural areas and find buyers for them. Just make sure you are buying the home and the land that it is sitting on. Also, make sure that you are buying one that is not too old. You should stay in the late 90s to 2000s. When we do these deals, we typically sell the notes at a 12 to 15% yield, making $19,000 to $28,000 cash up front. Not bad for a double-wide mobile home in a small town, huh? The key is to buy nice homes that are all ready to move into. Once again, I would not consider this a Filthy Riches model, but you can still do it and make good money. You want to search for three-bedroom, two-bath mobile homes built after 1995 and listed for $70,000 or less. Then you can use the spreadsheet analyzer to see how much you can pay for it. Below is a listing from our website and then a picture of one of our recent deals so you can see what a typical double-wide mobile home deal with land looks like. Notice the graphics on the picture. We do this in all of our pictures so they can call or go to the website right away and they know the property has seller financing. Good tip, huh? Single-wide mobile homes and parks. I have also bought single-wide mobile homes and parks for anywhere from $500 to $10,000. Most of them I will pay somewhere between $1,000 to $3,000. These are great little deals to put in your retirement account. You can buy one for $1,000 and sell it for $5,000 and get $500 down and have a nice payment coming in for the next 3 to 5 years or more. The only difference is that the mobile home has a title and not a deed, so you will have to put a lien on the title to secure your loan. Any car dealer or mobile home dealer can help you if you need help. Another thing to remember is that you must get the park's approval before you buy one, and it is important to make sure your buyer gets approved as a park tenant before you sell them the mobile home. These deals are known as Lonnie Deals, named after Lonnie Scruggs, who wrote a book called Deals on Wheels. To get these deals, first find a park in your area and contact the owner or manager. Let them know that you finance mobile homes. Ask them if they ever have any residents that need to sell their home and you would be willing to buy it for cash, then owner finance it to a new resident. Most parks do not want you to rent it out as they only want owner occupants, but once you let them know you are not a landlord, you are the lender, most are okay with it. You can also put out signs in the park saying that you are wanting to buy a mobile home for cash. Don't say you buy mobile homes. Instead, say you are looking for a mobile home to buy. You want to keep a low profile and look as if you want to buy one for yourself, especially if the park also buys homes from residents as well. You don't want them to think you are competing with them. You can also buy these and sell them also on Craigslist. Just set up an if this, then that notification, ifttt.com notification, to be notified if any listings go on Craigslist with the keyword mobile home. I have included some Craigslist listings of these homes for sale. The first ad would show one that you would run. The second one is to show you the kinds of deals that are available if you just look. Typical deal. Throughout this course, I will use the example of buying a property for $5,000 and selling it for $30,000 with seller financing, although as mentioned before, in reality, you will be paying more or less depending on the property. Also, you may sell it for a little less or more depending on the deal. I will also use throughout this course selling the property with $2,000 down and financing $28,000 at 9% for 10 years. But also remember that not every deal will be these exact numbers. I just want you to get the grasp of the concept, then you will be able to adjust your prices and terms as needed. Why this works so well? The reason this works so well on these cheap properties is because of the huge spreads we can get. For example, we are buying a house for $5,000 and selling it with financing for $30,000, which is 6 times what we paid for it. Well, that would be very difficult to do with a $50,000 house or a $100,000 house. If we bought a house for $50,000 and sold it for 6 times what we paid for it, then we would have to sell it for $300,000. There is no way to do that. If we paid $100,000, then we would have to sell it for $600,000. This is why I like to stick to the cheap, low-end houses. Also, by working in this price range, we are well diversified. In other words, if a deal goes bad, and they will, then you don't have all of your money or credit tied up into one deal, if you use any of your own credit or cash in the first place. Below are samples of the types of properties you will be looking for when doing your online searches. Now, as I mentioned, the pictures above represent the types of properties that you will want to stay away from. The above pictures are actual samples of the types of properties you will be looking for. Below are the types of properties you will stay away from. Now, as I mentioned, the pictures above represent the types of properties you will want to stay away from. It may sound too simplistic based on the pictures, but you want properties that appear to be livable or at least close to livable. See, we want properties that someone can move into with a little work or that the beginner investor can do a little work on and then rent it out. We don't want properties with structural damage, fire damage, water damage, or properties that have been gutted down to the wall studs. These would just take too much work to get them livable and would be too intimidating for the buyer. Structuring the sale. When we sell the property, we will sell it with a low down payment and finance the balance. This is what makes these properties so easy to sell. A typical property that you would buy for $5,000 will go right back on the market for around $30,000 with $2,000 down payment. And you can finance the balance of $28,000 for 10 years at 9% interest, and a payment will be $354.69 per month. Now, almost anyone can afford a $400 payment, and if they are serious about becoming a homeowner, they can find the $2,000. You can change the terms to fit your buyer, especially if they have more cash with a little less credit, or maybe have decent credit, but not quite $2,000 to put down. You may have them put $1,000 down and finance the balance for 7 years with a higher payment. This will even give you a higher yield on your investment. Sometimes you will be able to get more down payment. For example, if you sell the property on eBay where the bidders are bidding on the down payment, then sometimes it may go for $3,000, $4,000, or even $5,000 or more. Then you have nothing in the property. This is great for you, and it can also be a good deal for the buyer because they got to buy a property that you negotiated a steep discount on and they didn't have to qualify to get a loan. If the buyer is an investor, even better because they now have become an instant property owner without qualifying for a loan and can fix it up and rent it out for a positive cash flow. This is win-win for everyone. I have included in the course a deal analyzer that will do all of the calculating for you. This will make it very easy to make your offers and see how much you will make on the property when you buy and sell it. How much will I make? This is the best part of the Filthy Riches system. As mentioned in the course title, yes, you can make as much or more on a $5,000 house no one else wants as you can on a $50,000 or even $100,000 house. Let's take a look. Say you buy a property for $5,000. Then you sell it as described above for $30,000 with $2,000 down and $354.69 a month for 120 months, which is 10 years at 9% interest. Now you have $3,000 invested in the property, $5,000 minus $2,000 down payment. Now you have a $28,000 note, and the buyer is making payments to you of $354.69 a month. The first year, you have collected $4,256.31. Wow, that's more than you have invested in the entire property. Your first year's return is 141.88% return. That's over 100% in the first year alone. Do you see why I like this system so well? Now let's say you keep the property for the entire 120 months or 10 years. Over the entire 10 years, you will have collected a total of $42,563.06. Now subtract your initial $3,000 investment and you have made a total profit of $39,563.06. Yes, that is more than most investors make on a $50,000 house or even a $100,000 property. Yes, I know that you have to collect the payments for 10 years. However, a lot of properties will pay off before the 10 years. I left the closing cost out in the example to keep it simple. Some of the buyers will refinance the property to pay you off. This is great because it triggers the discount, which means you now get paid in full at the full face value of the note, even though all you have invested in the whole deal is $3,000. Now, this does not happen often because of the low values of the properties and the credit of the buyers, but when it does happen, it is great. Your goal should be to keep the note. After all, why would you want to sell a note that you're making over 100% on? So no matter how tempted you are to sell the note, if there is any way at all to keep the note, you will want to do that, even if you have to borrow against it, as we will discuss later. There's also another way to get your profit immediately, as we will see below. Get your profit immediately. If you would like to have your profit right now instead of waiting for a year or even 10 years, you can always sell the note. Now that you have a note and mortgage or deed of trust, depending on the state the property is in, with a principal balance of $28,000 at 9%, with 120 months of payments at $354.69, there are a couple of things you can do with that note. You can keep it and collect the payments on it for the next 120 months as mentioned above, or you can sell that note for cash right now. If you do sell it, you will have to take a discount. With a $28,000 note from a borrower who has a credit score between 500 or 600, you may only get $17,000 out of that note, especially if it's brand new with no seasoning. You may only get $15,000 out of it, but if you were to season that note, in other words, if you collect 6 months worth of payments and they paid on time, then you should be able to sell that note at a much lower discount, which means a higher dollar amount. The reason is that now the borrower or mortgagor has a track record for paying on time, which makes the note more valuable. For example, say if you sell it right away and you get $15,000, well, you only have $3,000 in it, and so you are still going to make $12,000 on the deal if you sell it right away. However, if you season that note for 6 months, you will be able to sell that note at a much lower discount, which means a higher amount. You may get $20,000 for it, and if you only have $3,000 in it, then not only do you get the yield that you've collected on the payments for 6 months, but you're also making about $17,000 when you sell the note. All of this is based on the yield or interest that the note buyer will be receiving. The more you discount the note, meaning the less you will take, means a higher yield for the note buyer. Note sellers want to take the least amount of discount as possible, and the note buyers want the biggest discount possible to increase their yield. Extreme yields for the note buyer. Even though the interest rate on the $28,000 note will be 9%, if a note buyer pays $20,000 for the note, their yield or interest earned will be 17.56%, or almost 18% yield on their money. If you were to sell the note to a note buyer for $17,000, the note buyer's yield would be 22.29%. Even if you sold it for $15,000, which means you would still make $12,000, $15,000 minus $3,000 you have in it, the note buyer's yield would be 26.26%. At these kinds of yields, it is not difficult to find a note buyer willing to buy the note from you and collect the payments from the borrower. Can you believe it? You bought and sold this property, never looked at it, sold the note to a note buyer that will make 25%+ yield, and you still made $12,000. All this on a $5,000 house. Is this great or what? Now, the yields on these low-priced houses will be higher than a typical note because on a lower-priced house, the risk will be a little higher. That's just the way it is. So when selling lower-priced houses, you will sell them at a higher yield than, say, a house you sold for $69,900 or $89,900 or so. The good news is that when you are selling notes on higher-priced houses, you can get more money for them because you can sell them at a lower yield. I am selling notes on higher priced properties at 12 to 15% yield. The analyzer included in the course will figure the yields for you, so you do not have to worry about how to use a financial calculator. Have your cake and eat it too. Another thing you can do is sell a partial of the note. What this means is that if you have a 10-year note, you may want to only sell the first 5 years of payments and keep the last 5 years of payments. If you sell the first 5 years, you may get $10,000 to $12,000 or even $15,000 for it, especially if you season the note for at least 6 months. Notice how you can get almost as much by selling the first 5 years as you can by selling the entire note. That's because of the time value of money. A monthly income stream is worth a lot more right now than it is if it doesn't start until 5 years from now. That's why you can sell a note for more money with less of a discount when the term is shorter rather than longer. Keep this in mind when structuring your notes with your buyers. In other words, you may have a buyer that says they can't afford the payment on your 10-year note, and you may be tempted to structure the note for 20 or even 30 years. However, you will not get much money for it if you decide to sell the note. The reason is that it takes much longer to get the money back on a 30-year note than it does on a 10-year note. Therefore, you will get much less for the note when you try to sell it. Also remember, if you sell only 5 years worth of payments, you don't even start getting paid on the last 5 years until the sixth year. But you could sell the first 5 years and keep the last 5 years as sort of a retirement plan. Or you could contact the person you sold the first 5 years to, and if the borrower is still paying on time, then chances are they will buy the last 5 years worth of payments. You could also sell just enough of the note to get some or all of your money back. That way, you're in the deal for no money down. You could sell just enough of it to get your money back. And now you have all of these notes built up that you have nothing in. If you have $3,000 invested in this, you could sell enough to get $6,000 or $8,000 out of it. That way you have your costs back, plus you've made a few thousand on the deal, and then you still have most of the note left to collect payments on. You should be able to sell 2 to 3 years of the note to get your cost back and maybe even make a little money on the note depending on how you structure the sale. The downside. What is the downside? The downside is if they don't pay. If you're keeping the note and they don't pay, then you're going to have to foreclose because you are creating a note and a deed of trust or a mortgage, depending on the state, which means it is a lien on the house, which in my South Carolina PhD way of putting it, if you don't pay, you can't stay. When you have a mortgage on a property, if they don't pay, you can't stay. So you will have to foreclose on them. And the foreclosure process is different in each state. You will have an attorney and or title company who will be doing your paperwork for you. And in my $1 million Rolodex and bookmarks, I will show you all of the different attorneys and title companies and how to find them. There is also a listing of all 50 states with their foreclosure process in the back of this manual. If it looks like they can't make the payments anymore and need to move out and they have no liens on the property, sometimes it's just easier to just pay them $1,000 to move out and sign a deed back to you. If they know they aren't going to be able to pay you, they know they are going to lose the deal. They know they're going to have to move. If you could pay them $1,000, then they could move out very quickly. Then you can find another buyer and start all over. The other thing you could do, and you'd have to check with your local attorney to make sure this is legal in your state, but you could get them to sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure when you initially make them the loan and sell them the property. If you do that, you have the attorney hold it in escrow, and then the attorney will simply file that deed and then deed the property back over to you. Now, there are a couple of caveats here. If the person has liens and judgments against them, then those will have to be paid off, or you will have to go through the foreclosure process to get a clean title back to the property. That's why it's always important to do a title search or have your attorney or title company do a title search anytime you get ready to file a foreclosure. That's extremely important. The second caveat is that if the borrower disputes the foreclosure and challenges you filing the pre-signed deed in lieu of foreclosure, the judge may throw out that deed stating that it is a stale document and was signed under different circumstances. Another option is if you sold it on what's called a land contract or contract for deed. You may be able to just get them to sign a cancellation document, and then you do not have to go through the foreclosure process at all. This is because in a land contract, the deed stays in the seller's name until the loan is paid in full. I sell a lot of my properties on land contract, especially the nicer ones that I do not mind keeping the deed in my name until they pay me off. On the very cheap, low-end properties that I do not want kept in my name, I sell on a mortgage or deed of trust, depending on the state they are in. Now, having showed you all the options for foreclosing and or getting them out of the property, I also want you to think about this. Let's say that they pay you for a year, then stop. Maybe they lost their job or had an illness or whatever. Well, if they have made their payments for a year already, then you already have all of your money back and then some. I would suggest that you try to work with them. if you can, by not foreclosing. What I mean by this is that they may tell you that they just need a little time with a reduced payment or maybe a couple of months of a payment moratorium to get caught up on everything. Well, in my opinion, if they paid for a year, plus or minus, and then stopped, there's a good reason. Remember that bad things happen to good people. And if you already have all or most of your money back that you have invested in the property, then you can be flexible and lower their payments for a few months or give them a few months to start making payments again. But remember, when a borrower gets used to making no payments, it is more difficult to get them to start making payments again. So I would have them make some kind of payment, even if it is small. See, when you do not owe anything on the property and you are making these kinds of returns, it allows you to be flexible with your borrower. This is a win-win situation for everyone. It prevents you from having to file foreclosure and pay the attorney fees and resell the property, and it will also make your borrower love you and tell everyone what you did for them. So I would use foreclosure as a last resort.